There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Professor Michael McFaul, ambassador to the Russian Federation for the Barack Obama administration, and also a leader of the Freeman Spogli Institute on the Stanford campus. He is, most important to me, the author of a new book, Autocrats versus Democrats, China, Russia, America, and the New Global Disorder. And he's made a promise to his fans that he'll write the next book about how Iran and North Korea and other illiberal societies are working together with the two big ones. But right now, we've got a three-body problem. We have three nuclear powers, all of whom have claimed to be powerful, the great states. And it's necessary to solve them on the basis of what Michael emphasizes is leadership. The leader of the Soviet, now Russian Federation, looks to be Vladimir Putin. And we need to understand what Putinism is, even if it's not about him, if it's about the effect of him. Michael, you're right. Putinism has to be concerned. You have to be concerned about it because it's a gambler. How so? What does that mean? How do we interpret that?
Well, Putin, he was an accidental president. Let's start with that. Talk about history. He was not some major opposition leader. He actually worked within the system in the 1990s. I first met him in 1991 when he was the deputy mayor of St. Petersburg. He was a nondescript bureaucrat, but he was not opposed to all those leaders. But over time, he changed as president. He became increasingly anti-Western. He became, obviously, he was anti-democratic from the beginning. But over time, he also became much more ideological, John. And I've watched it, I observed it, and then I saw it when I was in the government, where he believes that he is a defender of what he describes as orthodox Christian values, and that the West is threatening those. And I just want to be clear, that's not my view, it's his view, it's the way he frames things. And over time, to defend those values and to defend Russian civilization, and he calls it that, he thinks Russia is a civilization, he has become more of a risk taker, with more limited capabilities than Xi Jinping in China or President Trump today, much more limited capabilities, but he's used them, and at times he achieved his objectives. So he invaded Georgia in 2008, kind of got away with it. He seized Crimea in 2014 and part of Ukraine, got away with it, used his army, his air force in 2015 to prop up Saddam, President Assad in Syria. And that worked for a while. Thankfully, it didn't work more recently. But he used the air force to prop up a dictator, an ally. And then, most ambitiously and tragically, he launched this full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. That's a risk taker. That's somebody doing things that I think are risky. And by the way, are not, in my view, in Russia's national interest. I think he's damaging the well-being and security of his own people. But he's doing that because he's motivated by ideas and not just national interest.
Again, you were on the scene. Michael Zelig of Russian Affairs. you were on the scene in 2013, 2014, 2015. I believe they showed you the door in 2016. Is that correct? Or was it before then?
I left in 2014.
2014. You saw, again, the Russian state hesitate and to endorse Putin's decision to go into Crimea. Was it, upon reflection now, looking back, the U.S. and its allies did not respond to the Crimean occupation, the clear violation of sovereignty of Ukraine, did not respond in the way everyone responded in 22. Is there a way to reconsider that? What was the thinking at the time, that Crimea is okay because it speaks Russian and the fleet's there, Donetsk and Luhansk are okay because they want to be Russian and they watch Russian TV? Was there that sort of rationalization, Michael?
Well, there was. So I left the government right before that invasion. So I was not in the government at the time, but it's most certainly interacting with the government and part of the debate more generally. I think we should have had a more robust response. We should have had more sanctions, and we should have provided arms to the Ukrainians so that they could deter a future intervention, a future invasion, as we saw tragically in 2022. And to that end, I applauded at the time, and I applaud today. President Trump did provide some weapons in a way that the Obama administration didn't. But I think the mistake is bigger than that. And I think you got to go back earlier, because after Putin invaded Georgia, President George W. Bush, didn't impose any sanctions or provide any weapons. And nobody accused him of being, afraid from using military power. I'm going to go back to 1956. And, when the Soviets invaded Hungary, we didn't do enough. Czechoslovakia, 68, cracked down on solidarity in 81 when Ronald Reagan was president. There's a pattern here. But with respect to Putin, here's what I would say. I think it was the right bet to try to consolidate democracy and capitalism in Russia in the 1990s. I most certainly thought that at the time and participated in that, as we've already talked about. But I think in retrospect, we should have had a better hedge, that if things went badly, and they most certainly have gone really badly inside Russia, we should have had a plan B at the same time. And that plan B should have been to expand NATO faster than we did, because Russia, no Russian leader and no Soviet leader has ever attacked a NATO ally. And we should have provided more weapons to the countries in that gray zone, right? Moldova, Georgia, Ukraine. Had we provided 20 years ago the weapons that we provided today, I think the Ukrainians would have been able to deter an invasion of their country, because Putin would have had to calculate the costs would have been a lot higher. So that I think was the mistake we made. And in that list, I include the administration I served in, but also the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and the first Trump administration. President Trump, he likes to say there would have been a war if I was president. But that's just not true. There was a war the entire time he was president in Ukraine. It went on for 4 years. Lots of people died. Lots of Ukrainians died. We should have had a more robust response to that initial war for sure.
Your book has a theme that I want to pay attention to. It's so consistent throughout it. It's, where is democracy now? Where is autocracy now? There's a moment you acknowledge that some states have taken the wrong lessons from moves like Putin's in 14, which is that autocracy is to be preferred because you get things done. Is that growing in popularity or shrinking in popularity after the Putin example around the world? We're generalizing.
Yes. Oh, no, it's growing for sure. It's growing because of Putinism. And Putinism, as I write in the book, I think we underestimated his appeal, especially in Europe and the United States. He invested a lot to promote his ideas of illiberal populist nationalism. And he's got lots of followers in Hungary, Italy, the UK, France, and here in the United States. Likewise, the Chinese model of economic development is popular, especially in the developing world, Southeast Asia, Africa, Latin America, Middle East. And they just say, let the state run things and we get things done. And as you know, there's a pretty big debate here in the United States about how we're just inefficient, or there's too much bureaucracy, there's too many veto points. And I agree with that criticism of how we make policy. But, you know, here in California, there's too much of that, and it stifles growth. And so this debate between autocrats and Democrats is real. My solution is not autocracy. I don't want us to be more like the Chinese to grow. My solution is more competition, more innovation. I believe that those are America's strong suits. But analytically, the data is very clear that those ideas are growing in popularity, and democracy as a set of ideas is still popular, but is not as popular as it was 30 years ago.
I'm speaking to Professor Michael McFaul, the author of the new book, Autocrats versus Democrats, China, Russia, America. When we come back, dinner at Mar-a-Lago, chocolate cake and missiles. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
We know no one's journey is the same. That's why Delta SkyMiles moves with you. From earning miles on reloads for coffee runs, shopping, and things you do every day, to connecting you to new experiences, a SkyMiles membership fits into your lifestyle, letting you do more of what makes you, you. It's more than travel. It's the membership that flies, dines, streams, rides, and arrives with you. Because when you have a membership that's as unique as you are, there's no telling where your journey will take you next. Learn more at delta.com/skymiles.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money. Getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in 4 subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.